Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you we can gather in your name. And Lord, we have a lot of things going on, some of which are just pure distractions and some are just really an obvious need for prayer. But here we are and we have this opportunity to pray. And so guide us and lead us as we go forward this morning. I just wanted to read a very familiar passage with you that reminded me of kind of what's going on in this nation right now. In Romans verse 9 of chapter 3, he's talking about the Jews and the Greeks without the Lord, basically. As it is written in verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. Boy, is that true. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So this is 2,000 years ago, but it still fits, doesn't it? And as we see the Lord being excluded from our nation more and more, we see the results of that, of just the ungodliness and the inability to discern anything, really. Just go with the mob rule, and we know that happened with our Lord Jesus, of course. Well, today, wanted to look at the introduction of a prophet in the Bible in 1 Kings 17, this fellow Eliah. And Eliah comes on the scene unannounced. He's a little bit like Melchizedek. He doesn't say he has a mother or a father or anything else. He just says he just shows up. And he comes on the scene during the divided kingdom of Israel with the 10 tribes of the north and the 2 tribes of the south. And all of the kings of the north were all bad, but we have the worst one in office at this time, and that's Ahab. And we read here in 1 Kings 16:29, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel, and Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in the capital, Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. What kind of a legacy would you like to leave with that description, right? And so the nation of Israel now, the 10 northern tribes, is at a really a low, low point. But notice, if a godly prophet comes on the scene, he can undo all of this other stuff that's going on. And so he comes on the scene, and in verse 1 of 17, a powerful verse here, really, and Eliah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead. Now, if you look at your notes, there's a little map on there, just if you've ever wondered where Tishbe is and where Brook Kereth is. If you'll see on the lower left is Samaria. You know, that's about halfway down from the Sea of Galilee down to Jerusalem. Just across the Jordan would be Tishbe, and then the Kerith or the Cherith Brook is also shown there. And then as we go on later on in this chapter to the widow of Zarephath, that's about 80 miles up north-northwest to up by Sidon. So you can see there the geography of what we're talking about here. So Ahab has the capital in Samaria. That's where he's built the temple to Baal. And we know that, we'll see a little bit later, that they had, 450 prophets of Baal eating at his table every day. I mean, talk about giving over to idolatry. That was pretty, pretty, pretty bad, right? So here's Eliah, means Jehovah is my God, or Jehovah lives, Jehovah the God lives. And so we have a godly man. You can tell by his name, but you can't tell by anything else, really. We are told in another place that he was a rough guy, and he had leather and a hairy guy. He must have been quite a figure, right? And then in the book of James, it says, but he was a man just like we are, with just passions like we are. But he prayed no rain for 3.5 years, and then he prayed for rain to begin again. Now, if you could put yourself in that particular agrarian society in those days, the nation of Israel was absolutely dependent on rain. They had no other water source. They needed rain for food. So when a prophet comes on the scene and says, there'll be no rain and no dew for years, you can imagine the terror that would go through that land if they believed that, because, and it will come to pass, because that's serious, 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 serious thing. And why is God putting this on? Because of their wickedness. And he's really kind of poking his finger right into Baal. Baal was their god, right? But Baal was their god of weather. Baal was the god they worshiped so they would have good crops, so there would be rain. And they're depending on this god, right? Well, this god is going to, the real god is going to show them what a foolish thing to depend on an idol which can't help you. Eliah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead. Now, Gilead, isn't shown here, other than it's the area over there where Tishbite is. There's two. There's a Jabesh Gilead, and then there's another Gilead. But that's in present Jordan today. Inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, behold, before whom I stand. Notice that. He is actually making the statement that he is God's servant and he stands before the Lord God. So he's coming as a representative, as a direct representative of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord God of Israel is not Baal. The Lord God of Israel is Jehovah. Before whom I stand, and here's his prophecy, there shall not be dew nor rain these years until what? Except at my word. So he makes his prophecy, and then he says, I'll be the one that says when the drought will end. Well, you can imagine how friendly, loving Ahab must have taken that. But God immediately says, get out of there. Leave. And go across, back across the Jordan, up into the hills there, not too far from where you are from. And there is a brook there, Brook Cherith or Kereth. And apparently that was a brook that would run for one of the longer brooks until it dried up. We read then, so he did, and he is now going to be fed by unclean ravens. How would you like to be a Jewish guy? He may be Jewish, we're not really sure. But anyway, in the Levitical law, the ravens eating dead meat, you know, any animal that eats dead meat is unclean, basically. And so here's an unclean bird that's going to give him two meals a day. Two meals a day. It says, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. Wow, not just meat, roadkill, I guess, I'm not sure. What else would a raven bring you? And bread. Where he got bread, I don't know. But maybe that is also a bigger term just for food. But he's going to bring him food two times a day, in the morning and in the evening. And he drank from the brook. So he's to stay there. He's not supposed to leave. He's supposed to stay there. And now, what is the Lord doing? Well, it seems to me he is developing his faith. And you know, the big test is going to come in about 3.5 years when he faces the prophets of Baal. Whatever you're going through today, or if you're not going through today, you will. Your faith is going to be tested, because the Lord wants us to become more like him. And we don't become more like him when things are going well. We become more like him when we're tested, right? So we read then in verse 7, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now Eliab, part of this whole thing, but still he sees this drought taking effect as the brook doesn't just stop immediately, but it slows down and it'll eventually stop. Next time, we'll probably do this next time, we get to the next thing. What does he do now when there's no water? Well, God will tell him where to go, step by step by step by step. Now, often we're in a situation we don't like where we're in. We don't know why we're there, and we certainly don't see any way out of it. And then it gets even worse and worse, and we say, Lord, I did exactly what you said. I'm here by the brook. I'm eating the food that the ravens are bringing me, but now there's no more water. We'll have to stay tuned the next time to see what the Lord leads him. You know the story, but nevertheless. In summary, we see this is a very low part in the land, and I was just thinking about all this travesty going on right now in our capital about just the hatred and just the twisting of making accusations as actual fact and basing the whole a situation on how it feels and how it looks, not how it is. And without the Lord, our inability to discern right from wrong, right? That's what we've got. So we need to pray, seems to me, more than in a way earlier. God has been faithful. He's blessing us so much. But how many of our people now are not appreciating any of the blessings? And, you know, they want to put in things like free healthcare for everybody, free. Everybody gets a $50,000 a year job, right? I was wondering who's going to pay for that, you know? Who's going to pay for the free healthcare and all of this? But that's where we're getting so lazy and so give me mine. And it was said really early on in a democracy when the people turn from what is good for the nation to what is good for them and the whole thing falls apart. And it seems to me that we're seeing a lot of that right now. At any rate, back to the story here, we see Ahab has brought the idol worshiping front and center and made it. Of course, he's following Jeroboam, who had had the golden calves too. So the whole time after the split of the Israel into the two, northern kingdom and southern kingdom, it was just really gross, particularly for Israel. God puts Eliah on the scene with this prophecy of a severe prophecy of drought, which will cripple them for sure. And then he provides for his servant as he will provide for you and for me. So let's go to prayer now. We have much to pray for today, it seems like. And we've got an event going on here today with the young people. We want to pray for that. And we want to pray for the church around the world. We want to pray for the church in this nation, you know, because it's in certainly needed times right now, right? Father, we thank you for this account of Eliah, and we just pray that we would listen to you as you lead us and guide us. And Lord, as you give us things to pray for, may we pray. And that is what we want to do and need to do. And you have given us time right now to take some of these things as you would lead us by your Spirit before you. Let us pray in Jesus' name.